For 500 years, the Grand Banks of Newfoundland in Canada was home to a thriving cod fishing industry. The first European explorers enthusiastically wrote that the water was so plentiful you only had to lower a basket into the water and it would fill itself with cod. Then, one day, in 1992, suddenly, nothing. There were no fish. The government found that stocks had dropped to 1% of historical levels due to overfishing. In response, they imposed a ban on all fishing activity along the coast. Not only had overfishing destroyed the natural ecosystem, but the ban meant that 40,000 people lost their jobs. The environment and the economy was ruined. Since the ban on fishing 25 years ago, cod stocks have been recovering. But even then, there's still only around 10% of cod compared to when the industry first started. The incident left people wondering, how did we let this happen?
Somehow, what was perceived as an infinite resource, or at least everlasting resource, came to a standstill. And I think immediately the industry and the world realized that, you know, the resources that the ocean has gifted us with, it's not forever if we don't take care of it and protect it.
This is Anne Gabriel, and she's the Oceana Program Director for the Marine Stewardship Council, or MSC. It was originally an initiative of the World Wildlife Fund and Unilever, but now it's independent. The MSC was formed in the aftermath of the Newfoundland fisheries collapse, specifically to make sure something like this wouldn't happen again.
Ocean protection is extremely critical. The fishing industry in itself actually contributes about US $500 billion a year to the global economy. That's a huge amount. The fish is actually one of the most highly traded food commodities in the world. And don't forget, over 58 million people around the world actually have their livelihoods based on income through fishing.
The MSC offers a certification that proves seafood is sustainably caught. This sets a trustworthy standard for wild catch fishing, as in fish caught in the ocean rather than farmed in tanks or enclosures. According to Anne, the MSC certification starts at the fisheries level and works in three ways.
The first principle is ensuring that particular species has got healthy number of fish stocks in the ocean. The second principle would be to minimize any kind of destruction to the marine habitat, whether that's turtles or whales or dolphins or seabirds. And the third principle that the fishery needs to adhere to is to make sure that they've got management systems and processes that can cater to changing environment, because the ocean is an extremely dynamic landscape. And as it changes, we have to make sure that the fishery is in a position to have management to address that change.
The next step is ensuring the supply chain is sustainable. This means keeping track of the journey a fish takes from a fishery to your dinner plate. If it's imported from overseas, this could mean making sure fishermen are paid minimum wage and that there's no child labour involved.
Suppliers, processors, traders, restaurants, retailers, supermarkets need to prove that they are sourcing this seafood from these certified fisheries. So there's a process of audit that goes through the supply chain before they are given a license or the permission to use the eco-label at the end product. So it's gone through quite a bit of a rigorous process.
Seafood that is MSC certified gets a blue tick. You might have seen one of these in the supermarket, hanging off a price tag or printed on a box in the freezer section. This is called eco-labeling. Anne explains.
Basically, it's a logo or a symbolic identity that appears in many end consumer products, sometimes even services. I mean, it seems like a simple logo or label that's been sort of put onto products, but really the process of certification of a fishery sometimes can take up to minimum 12 to 18 months.
So after this incredible effort to hold every step of seafood sourcing accountable to ethical values, sustainability comes down to that one blue tick. In the end, it's the consumer's responsibility to buy the right product. But when we're grocery shopping, there's lots of options to choose from, and labels can sometimes be deceiving. There are seafood brands that market themselves as ethical, when the reality is a little more complicated.
There's also a whole lot of labels where, well, it doesn't actually represent that. For instance, dolphin safe. Well, what does that actually mean?
This is Paul Burke, Associate Professor of Marketing at the University of Technology, Sydney.
Yes, okay, the dolphins are being kept safe as we farm this product, particularly around tuna, but that doesn't necessarily mean that other species aren't threatened. So whether it be sharks, whether it be turtles, so consumers are sort of getting one side of the story.
It's hard to say for sure how much mislabeling or seafood fraud goes on in the industry. Because seafood is often imported and exported, it's difficult for governments to keep track of what goes in and out of the country. Companies are often left to regulate themselves.
So we rely on Namibia, Argentina, South Africa. A lot of our fresh fish comes from New Zealand. And so there's regulation in some countries are better relative to other countries. And it's really hard. We're talking about the retailer. They don't know where that's coming from. So it gets worse and worse and worse as you go all the way up the supply chain.
MSC certification is also an opt-in system. For some companies, this means there's little incentive for going through the arduous process of certification when it doesn't necessarily make a big difference to sales.
There is definitely a rise in fair trade sales right across the board in terms of coffee, in terms of chocolate. But at the end of the day, a lot of the market shares are not quite as high as one would think. There's a number of different studies out there that say when consumers are in the marketplace, yes, they're thinking about these things, but they've also got to think about price. They've got to think about quality. They've got to think about whether they like the brand. They've got to think about all these different things they're trading off, and welfare issues, ethical issues are just one part of that component.
So how does Australia stand up for MSC-certified seafood? According to Anne, we're not actually doing too bad.
To date in Australia, we have about 370 over-products using the MSC eco-label, and that's quite a lot. Already 16% of commercial wild-caught seafood in Australia is MSC-certified. So that's quite fantastic.
In fact, the Western Rock Lobster fishery in Western Australia was the first place in the world to be MSC certified back in 2000. The fishery has strict requirements on minimum size and catch quotas using baited pots and traps. It's a promising start, but sustainable seafood only takes up 16% of the commercial market in Australia. In the long term, if we want to prevent another collapse like the one in Newfoundland, this figure isn't high enough. Paul Burke says it's up to us, the consumers, to use tools like MSC certification to question labels and demand for transparency in the supply chain.
Obviously, it's not going to be out there in black and white in terms of, you know, companies telling us that, yes, they're committing fraud. But if we as consumers are looking at it, we're saying, hey, we're not getting the exact information that we're looking for. And there seems to be an asymmetry here. I think as consumers, we want to be better informed. We want to have tools and pieces of information that we can trust.